All right, this morning our text is from Matthew chapter 24. We're going to look at verses 31 through 46. I'm going to read these this morning, something that when I've been preaching through Revelation, I have kind of not done that to start off because we cover all the verses as we look through the passage. Verse 31, "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? And finally, verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." Well, even though this is not a passage from the book of Revelation, it still, I believe, needs to be part of this Revelation series of sermons that I've been preaching here now for quite some time. But I want to say to you this morning that today's passage is often misused by preachers and Bible teachers, because they will tell you that this passage refers to what happens at the rapture. But I believe a careful look at this passage will show that that belief is wrong. And misuse of this important passage can lead to doctrinal errors that affect the views concerning the end of this age. A correct understanding of this Matthew 24, verses 31 through 46, can give us answers to some of the most interesting questions as we approach the time of the Lord's coming. Some of the things that I'm going to try to answer in this sermon, as far as questions are: number one, when does this judgment take place? Number two, who are the sheep and the goats? And number three, what does the outcome of this judgment show us? And four, what comes after this event? Now I want you to look again at verse 31. It says, "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Now, it looks like it's talking about what's going to happen at the rapture, but I say it is not the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. And it also does not describe the great white throne judgment, which we will be covering here in just a few weeks. I believe it refers to the second coming of Jesus at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. The judgment of the sheep and goats that we're going to be talking about takes place at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, and it will determine who will be alive on earth and who will be allowed to enter the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Now, after the 7 years of tribulation end, Jesus will, in fact, establish his reign in Jerusalem, which will last for 1,000 years. The sheep and the goats are people who God will use to, I should say just the sheep, first of all. Scratch goats, okay? The sheep people are the people who will repopulate the earth during the 1,000 years of the millennial reign. Now, I hope you have heard enough of these Revelation sermons by now to know that during those 7 years of tribulation, many, many people are either going to be killed or will die from the effects of the elements, the atmosphere, and what happens on earth, and the shortage of food from time to time. Now, I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 25, verse 32. Chapter 25 in Matthew, verse 32 says, "All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." Now, first of all, it's important that we identify here in verse 32 what is meant by that word nations. The word nations is actually translated from the original Greek word ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S. And the word ethnos is used a total of 164 times in the New Testament alone. And the word can be translated into English in our Bibles this way. 93 times ethnos is translated in our Bibles as the word Gentiles. 64 times, as we see it here in verse 32, as nations. 5 times it is transferred to the English word heathen, and 2 times in the New Testament it is translated simply as people. So the word nations is commonly used throughout the Scripture, specifically in the New Testament, to describe the human race. So Matthew 25:32, I believe, could have just as easily been translated into these words, "And before him shall he gather all people of this world." You see, it's individual people, not whole nations, that are going to be judged here. Now look at Matthew 25:33 and 34. "And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Now, friends, to me, the message is clear. Nobody will enter the kingdom of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years and receive everlasting life because he just happens to be born in America and is an American. Or just because he was born in the British Isles and is an Englishman. Or was born in Africa and is considered an African. And by the same token, no one is going to be sent to hell because of his or her national identity. Now, how does one become one of these sheeps? Or sheep, I should say. Sheeps is not right, is it? Sheep is plural. That's the question. Obviously, good things are going to happen to the people who are described in these passages as sheep. So the question is, how does one become one of these sheep? We know this. People are saved by the grace of God through faith in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen? So the sheep on his right hand are those individuals who are saved during the days of the 7 years of tribulation. Now remember, we've seen this in our past Revelation looks, that the Antichrist will murder many, many people during his 7 year reign who resist him, but many new tribulation Christians will be saved and will survive those 7 horrible years. And these new Christians, my friends, are the sheep in this future judgment we're looking at today. The sheep will receive their salvation not because of their national identity, but because during those 7 years, at some time, they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, it's also true that people who are a part of the goat nations are not damned to eternal hell because of their national identity. They are identified as goats because they are people who reject Jesus during those 7 years. Friends, I know that there are many doctrines, even within the Christian Protestant faith, who say otherwise, but the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is salvation comes only by faith. Amen? You cannot be saved just because you were baptized at some time. Salvation is only by faith. And to think that salvation comes by any means other than God's merciful grace through faith, friends, is not a true biblical teaching. But right now, let's think for a moment about these doomed goats. Here in Matthew chapter 25, let's look again. Well, actually, we're going to look at it first. Here in Matthew 25, let's look at verses 41 to 45. Now, I'm reading from the New King James, but even if you don't have the New King James, it shouldn't be too much different. Verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, and into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer to them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." All right. Again, let me get this very clear in your minds. A person in this time we're looking at now, this judgment of the sheep and goats, will not be damned to hell, to the lake of fire, whatever it turns out to be, because of his nationality, where he was born, and under what citizenship he or she may have had. It is an individual thing. It is not entire nations that are going to be judged at this judgment of the sheep and the goats. But this passage does present a question which I think it must be dealt with before we go any further. The question is, are these sheep people saved because of their good works? And the goats doomed because they didn't do the good works. You know, notice there, look what Jesus says here. Here from verses 42 through 44, he talks about did not take a stranger in, did not clothe a naked person, did not visit a sick person, did not visit a person in prison, did not give a person who was hungry or thirsty a drink or food. That all talks about things that we do or can or don't do. And so it would seem by a reading of these verses that the people who turn out to be sheep are people who are judged to be sheep because of the good things they did. But is that a biblical teaching? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And then another verse that backs that up, but yet puts a little bit of a twist on it. James 2, 17 and 18 says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But some will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" So, we're still not dealing with this question: do people become sheep in the eyes of the Lord because of all these good things they did? And the people who are judged by the Lord to be sheep, or goats I should say, because they didn't do those things? It seems to be a logical conclusion. But friends, the Bible makes it clear: genuine saving faith will produce good works. Right? So, that's what James says. My conclusion is, these people who are judged to be sheep show kindnesses to other people during those horrible years of tribulation. But obviously, the goat people, who have never been saved, do not have Jesus in their hearts. They look out for themselves during those 7 years. And to make matters even worse, they place their faith in the Antichrist as the one who can get them through these horrible times and perhaps receive the mark of the beast. And what will be their fate? Well, look at verse 46 here in Matthew 25. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. See, friends, the Bible passage right here shows us the fact that this will happen after the tribulation when Jesus judges the people here on earth. Every living person on earth at the end of those 7 years of tribulation is either sent to hell or is granted entry into the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Now, there are indeed two different kinds or groups in this judgment, and we're going to look at this. First of all, we're going to look at the goats that are damned for eternity. And friends, this damnation results from a rejection of God's plan of salvation. They are irredeemable rebels who have followed the Antichrist at some time during the 7 years of tribulation and have received his mark of the beast and worshipped his image. And they do no good deeds for other people. It shows their unredeemed condition of their souls. That is a pretty nutshell description of people who turn out to be the goats. Now, what about the sheep, the second group? These are the people who will be saved in the tribulation days and will survive the horrible wraths of the Antichrist and Satan himself. These survivors will stand as redeemed individuals before Jesus Christ. And they will be rewarded with entrance into the 1,000-year kingdom because, and for no other reason, because sometime during that 7 years, they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Now remember, these people missed the rapture. The rapture left them here on the earth for the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation. But at some time during that 7 years, these people who are still alive at the end of the 7 years, sometime before that, finally saw the truth, saw the light, and accepted Christ as Savior. And this millennial 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ will come after this judgment of the sheep and the goats. The tribulation redeemed people will be subject of the kingdom of Jesus Christ during his 1,000-year reign on the throne in the city of Jerusalem. It will become a time of peace during this 1,000 years. In fact, I would have to say it will probably be much like it was back in the days of the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned. But the book of Revelation tells us that trouble will come at the end of this 1,000-year period of peace and tranquility. And I know we're going to be touching on things that I'm going to cover in more detail as we come closer to the end of this study of Revelation, but I want you to see it at this time because, remember, today we're talking about this judgment of the sheep and the goats and the passage that I read in the beginning that is often misused by preachers saying this is talking about a time of the rapture when it is not. Turn ahead in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Now, again, we're going to look at this when we get to chapter 20, but I think it's necessary that we look at it here today as we explore this subject of the sheep and the goats and the judgment that comes at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. Revelation chapter 20, verses 7, 8, and 9 say, "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Well, okay. The problem with me jumping ahead there is we're missing a lot of territory and information that we're eventually going to cover. But looking at this passage here, it's clear that after the 1,000 years of peaceful living conditions here on this earth, with Jesus Christ ruling from his throne in Jerusalem, that at the end of the 1,000 years, there's going to be a rebellion. And as it says here, those who join in this rebellion are going to be devoured by fire. Or in other words, they're going to be destroyed. And this is all going to come about because Satan will be released from his prison where he's been for 1,000 years for one last rebellion. And he leads all these people who are alive on the earth at this time, well, not all of them, of course, but some of them, into a rebellion against Jesus. And Jesus quickly puts down the rebellion by destroying them with fire out of heaven. So that presents a problem. The first question is, who is going to be joining this rebellion by Satan at the end of the 1,000 millennial year reign? And who then is going to eventually be destroyed or killed? And then that pops up another question. How could saved people living in the millennium under the reign of Jesus Christ possibly become rebels? Because back here we have seen in verse 46 that the people who enter the millennial reign are given eternal life. Well, doesn't this kind of backfire? If the people who enter the millennial reign are given eternal life, and then later on we're told 1,000 years later there's a big rebellion led by Satan, and a bunch of people join him in this rebellion, and they're killed. Well, wait a minute here. I thought they were given eternal life. Presents a problem, doesn't it? But you see, friends, the answer can be explained pretty simply. First of all, the people who are given eternal life and who do enter the 1,000-year reign will not and cannot rebel against Jesus. The people who are allowed entrance into this 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus are all saved people. Get that firmly established in your mind. They are saved after the rapture of the church. They hide from the Antichrist and are not killed during that 7-year period. They stand alive in their human bodies when everyone living on earth at the end of the tribulation will be called before the judgment throne and decided whether he or she is a sheep or a goat. They have eternal life and cannot and will not rebel against Jesus, as we're reading about here in chapter 20 of Revelation. But here's the factor that puts all this into perspective. These people who enter the millennial 1,000-year reign will be in bodies just like you and I have today. Now, we're talking about not us, because we'll be in glorified bodies. But these people who are allowed to enter the 1,000-year millennial reign, they survived all these horrible 7 years of tribulation. Now, because they got saved during the 7 years, are allowed to enter the 1,000-year millennial reign in bodies just like we have today. And just like we have been blessed with, these people will give birth to children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren and so on down. Can you imagine how many babies could be born from one generation to the next over a period of 1,000 years? I've done a little genealogy research, and the furthest I can go back in my history is the 1700s. I mean, I can't get back to the year 1000. I don't have any idea. And there have been a lot of generation of rig people on this earth during that last 1,000 years backwards. And so it will be for these people during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth. Remember that ideal living conditions will prevail during this 1,000-year millennium. Poverty and hunger will no longer exist. There will be no wars. So masses of people will not be killed off during the 1,000 years because of some catastrophic war like we had back in World War II. And these children born in the 1,000 years will hear the preaching of the gospel just like we are hearing it. And just like people of today, they will decide whether or not to accept Jesus as their Savior. And even under the wonderful conditions that exist on the earth during this 1,000 years where there will be no hungry people, wild animals will walk around as tame animals like dogs and cats. Peace will prevail everywhere on the earth. And Jesus will rule and keep order from Jerusalem. And 1,000 years worth of generations will build the greatest civilization the earth has ever known during that period. But here's the point. The offsprings of the people who entered the millennium will not be forced or pressured to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Or maybe in some cases they'll be like I was as a boy. You know, I've told you this story before. One Sunday morning, back when this was a Methodist church, I was sitting back there during the worship service. I don't even remember who the preacher was now. But that preacher that morning preached a message of salvation. Boy, he just kept hammering and hammering. Finally, one kid got up and went to the altar. He kept on going. And another kid got up and went to the altar. To make a long story short, it wasn't long for there was a bunch of kids up here at the altar. No adults, just kids up here at the altar. And I'm standing back there with my brother. And what next? He gets up and goes to the altar. And I'm standing there thinking, well, this looks pretty bad. I'm one of the few kids still standing back here. So I went to the altar too. And we had a big mass prayer of salvation for all these kids up here. Man, that was a glorious morning in the Methodist church that year. All these kids got saved. Well, they thought it was a bad deal that all these kids got saved and would become members of the Methodist church, but didn't know anything about Methodism. So after school, for about a week, we all had to come over here and went through a class about what a good Methodist is with the preacher. And after that was over, while they presented us with Bibles, I think this was it. This might be the Bible that, 1960. Well, anyway, we got these Bibles and we were pronounced saved and members of the Methodist Church. Friends, as I look back on that now, I wasn't no more saved than this bottle of water. I mean, I had a head knowledge of Jesus because I'd been through all the Sunday school classes ever since I was a little kid. I knew all the stories of Jesus, but was he in my heart? No, that didn't happen, my friends, until March 16th, 1988, when I was truly born again. And perhaps that's what's going to happen to a lot of these kids born during this 1,000-year reign. They, first of all, will be born to people who were really saved and somewhere along the line got pressured into making an empty word profession of faith, but they weren't really saved. And some of these kids, like a lot of kids today, never ever heard the word of Jesus Christ and never got saved. In other words, there are going to be people walking the earth during this 1,000-year wonderful, peaceful time, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, just like we walk this earth today, and they have had a chance to be saved, but they never, ever really got born again and saved. And so being a child, a grandchild, or a great-grandchild will not automatically save them just because great-grandpa was one of these guys who made it through the tribulation. Each person born during the 1,000 years will have to make his or her own choice, just like we do today. And even with Satan bound up during this 1,000-year reign and Jesus ruling the earth, even with that all taken for granted, there will be a rebellion against Jesus at the end of the 1,000 years. Isaiah points out that the kingdom age will be the greatest time of happiness for humanity since the fall of Eden. Let me read to you what it says in Isaiah 65, verse 17, 18, and 19. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Now, does that describe Jerusalem today? Far from it. Isaiah also says in chapter 65, verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Now, here again, a lot of preachers, they use that verse to talk about how conditions in heaven are like today. No, 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 friends. Isaiah's talking about what it's going to be like after the 7 years of tribulation and during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. That's when the lamb is going to lay down with the lion. Not now. Not now in heaven. But here's the sad part. Many unredeemed people born during this 1,000-year period will be deceived when the old devil is finally released from the pit. And Satan will go throughout the world deceiving unsaved people who have begun to question the authority of Jesus ruling in Jerusalem. They will join Satan in the rebellion against Jesus. And this will absolutely be the final conflict of the ages. Because, as it said in the verses we looked at, God will send fire down from heaven to destroy them all. Now, friends, I hope this has made a little sense for you today. And I promise you, as we finish out this study of Revelation, more of the pieces are going to fall together. But it was important for me to straighten out what a lot of people have heard as misinformation, specifically here in Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25, when some preachers who've never ever taken the time to study Revelation say these verses in Matthew are talking about that glorious time we look forward to, the rapture of the church. Not so, friends. Not so. And the judgment of the sheep and the goats, when will that happen? And many times these preachers who've never studied Revelation cannot place it in its proper context. I hope today's sermon should make some things very clear to you. Of all the things I've said, here are the things I'd like for you to take home. People who are born into Christian families must make their own decisions to accept Jesus as Savior. Now, Bill Bennett back there has got some fine young sons. But just because they are sons of Bill Bennett doesn't mean they're saved. Each one had to make his own choice to accept Jesus, and thankfully they did. Every Christian parent should make, every Christian parent must make an effort to lead his children and grandchildren, if you have any, to faith in Jesus Christ. You must make that effort. And today what we have seen also, I believe, shows that some people who do indeed have Christian parents, fine Christian parents, will still choose to reject Jesus and end up in hell. And some of them will become enemies of Jesus Christ and his church. You see, friends, it all comes down to this. And we talk about God's will. And every time something happens, we automatically say, well, it must have been God's will. I mean, God is sovereign over all, and he is. And so the obvious next step to say is, well, if this terrible thing happened, that must have been God's will for that to happen. But friends, that's not so. Because in reality, every person born into this world from ages past to today, to even into the future, even into the 7 years of tribulation, even into the 1,000-year millennial reign, every person born into this world or the next tribulation and millennium, born into this world in a physical body like we have today, is given free will. And because of that free will, we are given the option to either love Jesus Christ, accept Him as our personal Savior, and serve Him, or choose to reject salvation through faith in Jesus and to live our lives for ourselves selfishly. And in the end, we can choose to be a sheep, or we can choose to be a goat.